chapter 2 and starting to read at verse 18. The followers of John the Baptist and the Pharisees often went without eating. Some people came and asked Jesus, "Why do the followers of John and those of the Pharisees often go without eating, while your disciples never do?" Jesus answered, "The friends of a bridegroom don't fast from eating while he is still with them. But the time will come when he will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one patches old clothes by sewing on a piece of new cloth. The new piece would shrink and tear a bigger hole. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. The wine would swell and burst the old skins. Then the wine would be lost and the skins would be ruined. New wine must be put into new wineskins." Father, we just want to ask, firstly, that you'll cause us to have ears that are listening. Not just ears that are listening to the sound, but ears that are spiritually attuned to you, that we can hear what you are saying to us. And I just want to pray for Debbie that as she speaks, and all that's been in her, all from her praying, from her thinking, from her experience of life, all these things, that as she speaks now, our hearts may be warmed and that we may hear more and more of Jesus. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, David. Welcome, everybody. It's lovely to see you all. Now, I have to get arranged, first of all. First of all, if you are a younger member of the congregation, there is a special activity that's going to be going on down here in just a moment. Very creative activity. So you might want to join these guys on the carpet for that. But also, I just need a happy helper. Joe, there you are. Would you be able to just move this table without revealing, without moving the bin bags? That would be terrible if the bin bags move. Also, without tipping anything, that will also be terrible. And just put it about here. Brilliant. Because in a minute, kids, I'm going to show you what's under here, and I'm going to need your help with it, okay? But no peeking until it's time, okay? But Caroline, you're allowed to start, turn over your sheet and start that with them now if you like. Because I don't know what your general experience of church is here in this room. Some of you have been part of ICFIS for so long now that balloons and singing and waving banners and hopping around and jigging around the room slightly awkwardly sometimes, it's just normal to you. This is just a normal part of church life. Some of you are nodding. Yeah, we've been around long enough. And did you know, though, that some people who don't have much experience of church life, their image in their mind of what a church is would be nothing like this room this afternoon. Isn't that true? Don't we imagine sometimes that church life, the God life, is about sitting still and quietly or looking very, very solemn and very sensible and very serious all the time? Or perhaps dressing in a certain way, speaking with a certain sort of language that sometimes we don't always understand very well. Feeling a bit bad about ourselves, perhaps. A lot of people out there in the world today, that is their general view of what church, the people of God, is all about. And the sad thing is that that view could not be further from the truth as it is in Jesus. And that's what we want to think about a little bit this afternoon. Because this kind of party atmosphere, and we're so grateful, aren't we, to have these beautiful balloons that were left over from our wedding that we had yesterday for Martina and Tony. Lots of you were there. Lots of you were helping and serving there. Just give a wave if you were helping and serving at Martina and Tony's wedding. Okay, and then can everybody else cheer and clap these wonderful people? Because they did such a beautiful job. Such a beautiful job. And lots of people have said how blessed they were that the servers had such a lovely attitude and a really joyful heart as they served and arranged everything. And there were lots of preparations, which we're going to think about in a minute. But all this beautiful stuff and all the stuff that makes a good party, we're going to have food later, we've had music, we've had some dancing, we've had balloons, we didn't have jelly, Steve will be sad, but we've had a lot of good stuff that makes for a good party. And did you know that the person who invented parties and the person who defines the very idea of party and celebration and life and love and fellowship, did you know that that is Jesus Christ? That is our God. Did you know that the very first miracle that Jesus did after he had come down from heaven from the Father to live amongst us, God with us, amongst his people, the first thing he did to demonstrate God's heart was to go to a wedding and turn some water into wine to get the party going? That is the God that we worship. And so every church meeting should be a bit like this. You know, there are times when we are solemn. There are times when we're quiet. There are times when the Lord speaks to us and he touches our hearts. And we need to be humble and we need to be quiet in his presence. But overall, did you know that the Christian life is a party and it's full of celebration? And these verses that David has just read to us amazingly talk about a wedding celebration. And Jesus is using important bits of preparing for a wedding to show us something about who he is. And to show us that one day, to remind us that one day there is going to be a massive, great, big, heavenly party when Jesus, the bridegroom, comes for his bride. Who's his bride? That's us. That means we definitely can't miss that party, okay? Because it's about us. Jesus is coming back for a bride. And there's going to be a mighty wedding feast. And there's going to be a mighty celebration. And Jesus was talking to his followers and trying to show them something about being ready for that day. Because if we don't understand that our God is a God of love and celebration and joy and relationship and love and all the things that a wedding speaks of, if we forget that, we're going to find that our Christian life, our walk of faith, is missing the point. And actually that we're not ready when that bridegroom returns to celebrate with the bride. And Jesus warns that sometimes some people won't be ready. So he uses three things that are very connected with weddings. And I thought I'd ask your help because, you see, we had a wedding yesterday. And I know for a fact, because I was there a bit early as well, that an awful lot of preparation and getting ready time went into that wedding, didn't it, guys, who were the helpers? Yeah, an awful lot of scrubbing chairs. Anyone notice the beautiful chairs this afternoon? Yeah. Of, you know, inflating balloons, putting them on tables, of hanging up beautiful flowers, arranging flower arrangements, scrubbing kitchens, cleaning toilets, putting beautiful soap and towels in the toilets. All these kind of things happen to get ready for a wedding, because a wedding is a special thing. So there's lots of preparation time. And I was thinking, you know, I've got another few weddings coming up this year. I've already been to two this summer, and I've got weddings coming up. So this is where I need your help, children, because I've been thinking about getting ready for the weddings that are coming up. So if there are one or two children who want to come and help me at the table here, I need your advice. I need your advice. Because Jesus talks in the passage we just read about three things that are central to weddings. He talks about the food, eating, feasting, no looking. He talks about clothes, what you wear. That's important at a wedding, isn't it? And he talks about wine, the drink. That's quite important at a wedding. Now, let's look. No. Okay, well, you can do that. But just leave that bit here because I want to show you them one at a time. Okay. Now, in here, on this end here, I have some food. And I'm helping to get the food ready for this wedding that I'm going to. And I was thinking, guys, which bit of food do you think we should use for the wedding? What is appropriate for a wedding? Do you want to just show people what's that one?
Rice.
Yeah. Actually, what that is, it's some leftover rice. I've had it in the fridge for a couple of weeks. It started to go a bit of a funny colour. It's a bit weird. Just be careful with that one. You have to be very gentle with that one. But it's leftovers. It's good to use up leftovers, isn't it? And, I mean, do you think there'll be enough food there? I was thinking we could use this up on all the guests who can't... You don't think that's enough? Well, that's all right. They could just go without eating, couldn't they? It's not that important if you have food at a wedding, no? All right, okay. Well, they're not looking too sure. What about this one? This is a very special wedding cake. Is that more appropriate for a wedding? Okay, so you think I should choose the rice or the wedding cake?
Wedding cake.
Okay, the wedding cake. This is a very nice piece of Martina and Tony's wedding cake that I need to look after really carefully, so I'm just going to give that to you, because they actually do want it back. Okay, well, that's really helpful. Thank you. That's really helpful. Let's have a look at the next thing then. Okay, so then I also need to decide what I'm going to wear to this wedding. So I have here these, I thought maybe I could wear some of Joe's old clothes. I thought these were, they're not been washed, so they're a bit stinky. And then there seems to be a bit of a hole in the knee. But it doesn't really matter, does it? I'll feel comfortable if I'm wearing these, won't I? Yeah, do you think this is a good thing to wear to a wedding?
No.
Oh, no? Okay, well, I mean, I do have another choice. I've got this. It's got some flowers on it. It looks a bit pretty. Do you think this is a better... Oh, Abby's got her thumbs up. She thinks that's a better choice. Okay, so... What about if I wore Joe's old jeans and I put a nice patch over the hole in it? Would that be better? No, still not quite good enough. Okay, so, okay, you've helped me really loads. Okay, so the wedding cake, the nice pretty pink top, I'll wear that one. Finally, now this one's a bit fragile, but I'll show you. So what we've got here is there's going to be wine at this wedding, and I was thinking about what we should pour the wine into. Now, first of all, I've got these. Now, these are left over from a party that we had a few weeks ago. They might be a bit worse for wear, and they seem to have a few dregs of the old wine in it, but they're not going to notice, are they? If you put the wine in, they're not going to notice that there was a bit of the old stuff in there before, are they? So we could use these glasses, and the advantage of these ones is there's six of them, which is a few more. What do you reckon? Should we use these ones? For the special wedding? No? Oh, they're all broken. Oh. Squished and broken. Okay, all right. Well, what about these? I do also have these very special... looking wine glass. So what do you think? Do you think these are...
They all have to be special.
Oh, okay. Oh, thanks, Abby. That's really helpful. Thanks, guys. Okay, so we're clear that we want the food to be the best quality, and we want the clothes to be beautiful looking, and we want the cups that we serve the wine and the drinks in, we want them to be the special ones, not dirty vessels, not broken vessels. Okay, that makes sense. Thanks. You can sit down. Give them a little round of applause, because they've helped me out, saved me from some huge embarrassment, I think, there with this wedding that I'm going to. But you see, Jesus talked about all those three things in the message that we just heard from the Bible earlier. He talked about the fact that the bridegroom was going to arrive for his bride, was coming to a wedding feast, and everyone needs to be ready. And he talked about the fact that if you're getting ready for a wedding, you don't go around fasting. You don't go around not eating and feeling miserable and hungry with your tummy gurgling. And you don't expect to have a horrible kind of meal, a small portion. You don't expect that in a wedding context. If you're thinking about a beautiful wedding feast, you want to provide lots of food, good food, because that's all part of the celebration. And Jesus was saying, yes, there are times when we will fast in our relationship with him. But overall, he wants us to see the picture that there should be joy in your relationship with God. There should be satisfaction in your relationship with God. There should be an overflow of blessing. There should be a feeling of provision and having what you need, because that is the God that we worship. We don't all the time have to feel in lack or in poverty, or like we don't have enough, or that it's not quite nice enough or not quite good enough. If we live all the time in that miserable kind of place, we're missing the fact that Jesus is preparing for a wedding. So there should be some joy around. Secondly, he says, don't take an old piece of clothing that needs patching up and then patch it up with loads of new patches, because when you put them through the wash, those patches are going to shrink and the clothes will tear and they'll get worse. They won't look any good. He's talking about, what are we going to clothe ourselves in to be ready for this wedding? We need to have appropriate clothing for the wedding. We need to wear our finest clothes. If they need patching, let's do it properly. Let's get a professional job on it. Let's not do a rush job or a bad job, because if we do that, we're not honoring the wedding feast. If we turn up to the wedding in our scruffiest, horriblest clothes, we're kind of presenting to the world and to the people around that that person doesn't mean very much to us. And actually, Jesus wants us to think about how we're clothed as we prepare for that great wedding feast. He wants us to think about how we present ourselves to the world. And we can be presented in robes of righteousness and white clothes of holiness and clothes that are full of glory and clothes that reflect his goodness. We can show to the world an image of a beautiful, righteous Jesus, because he has won for us those beautiful robes of righteousness on the cross. He has made them available so we can wear those, and we should be wearing those every day. Don't wear your scruffy old stuff when you go out into the world. Metaphorically speaking, put on your beautiful clothes of Jesus, because then when people look at you, they'll know, wow, there's a special event coming up because look how these people are dressed. There's a special party going on because look at their beautiful clothing, and it's the clothing of righteousness and goodness and holy living and the beauty of Jesus that should shine out from us. We need to be ready for the wedding and clothe ourselves like that every day. And last thing, he talks about what you put the wine in, the wineskins. And we mustn't pick leaky old, dirty old, used up old vessels for this beautiful party wine. And he's reminding us, get your insides cleaned up so that the new wine of the Spirit can fill you appropriately and be poured forth from you and bless the people around you. If you've got a dirty, leaky, cracked old vessel to put that new wine into, then you're soon going to find that it's lost. It flows away. And the beauty of that new wine of his Holy Spirit will drain away from your life. And Jesus wants us to be ready for this wedding. He wants to help us to be thinking all the time about the fact that one day the bridegroom's coming back for his bride, so that every day is like a party day, every day is like a wedding day, so that we have joy and satisfaction in our life with him, so that we clothe ourselves daily in robes of righteousness and we do our good works to glorify our Father in heaven, and so that we have cleaned up insides, ready to receive afresh every day the wine of his Spirit, the beauty of his Spirit, the fullness of his Spirit. Because when we live like that, as though we're getting ready for a wedding every single day, when we live like that as God's people, we are shining out to the world the truth that Jesus loves his people and he's coming back for them. And if our Christian lives have missed that central point, miss the fact that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, loves you so much that he came to walk among us in the person of Jesus Christ, loves you so much that he laid down his life so that you could be set free, so that you could know salvation, so that you could know healing, so that you could know freedom. If we've missed that point and the joy and the good of it, then we're not going to be reflecting that wedding feast that's to come. And so I want us to think at the end now, or before we do that, we're going to just close in a moment. But before we do, the children have been creating something really beautiful down here with their patches. Now, they did a good professional patch job on this outfit, but can we see these? Oh, look at those gems. Can we hold this up, guys? You can keep doing it, but can I hold it up to show everyone for a minute? Okay, let's see if it survives. Look at that beautiful multicoloured outfit that they have created here. That's clothes fit for a wedding feast, I think. And there's some jewels and gems. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put it down so you can add your finishing touches, okay? Okay, fine. Oh, she's more normal now. Okay, here we go. You can continue with that for a minute. I think they deserve a little round of applause for that. Yeah. That is brilliant, children. That is brilliant. And while they do that, while they finish off their patches, I want us to think for a moment. Are you ready? Are you ready for the wedding feast? Where's your relationship with Jesus right now? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know he's coming back for you? Do you know that his love is here for you now to be filled up with? Do you know the joy of knowing him? Are you walking in his robes of righteousness? Is your heart clean and ready to receive the wine of his spirit? Are we ready for the wedding? And we're going to just pray for a moment. And on your tables, you'll see there's some little bits of yellow paper. And if you haven't used up your yellow paper already, you might want to take one of those. And I want to invite us to jot something down that we need to get rid of in our lives in preparation for the wedding. You know, when Joe and I got married, we both had been living in a flat separately, and we had like double all kitchen utensils. Yeah, some of you will remember that feeling. And generally, most of Joe's were kind of blunt and not very great, I think. But maybe there were one or two things that were a bit below par on my side as well. But we had to kind of go through all of that cutlery and throw away the old knives so that when we came together into our new life, it wasn't cluttering up the place, you know? There's always something you have to get rid of when you come together in a marriage. If we're getting ready for a wedding with Jesus, there's some stuff from the old life that we don't need anymore, that we need to get rid of. And maybe in preparation to say to Jesus, Lord, I want to be ready for you when you come back for your bride. Why don't you just note down on that bit of paper something in your old life you just want to say goodbye to, you want to get rid of. Maybe it's doubts. Maybe it's disappointments. Maybe it's swearing and bad language. Maybe it's other habits, bad habits that don't give glory to Jesus. Maybe it's thoughts and attitudes, but stuff that doesn't belong at that beautiful wedding feast. Why don't we just note some of those things down, and then I'm going to invite us to come and put them in the sack. So you've got 1 minute of quiet, and then I'm going to invite us just to come and symbolically going to get rid of some stuff and throw it away. So take a moment just to write down your responses, and then I'll pray for us.